account for the ticket yet?
No.
It's not funny.
I don't think it's funny. I just think that we've left tickets in every city we've been to, and I think it's a waste of tickets.
Well, how many shows has it been?
I don't know. Check the calendar. It's right there. What makes you think that she's going to show up?
I don't know. She acted like she'd show. That's all I can go on right now.
Man, this is from the same girl that wouldn't tell you where she was from.
Just leave the ticket.
I'm leaving tickets. It's every night I'm leaving tickets.
Okay, we're ready for Luke.
We're walking.
Cottonwood falling like snow in July. Sunset riverside, four-wheel drives and a taillight. Circle, roll down the windows, turn it on up. Pour a little Crown in a Dixie cup. Get the party started. Girl, you make my speakers go boom, boom. Dancing on the tailgate in the full moon. That kind of thing makes a man. What's left of those blue jeans? Drip of honey on a money maker, gotta be the best buzz I'm ever gonna find. Hey, I'm a little drunk on you and high on summertime. If you ain't a 10, you're a 9.9. Tipping and spilling that homemade wine on your tied up T-shirt. Every little kiss is driving me wild. Throwing little cherry bombs into my fire. Good God Almighty. Girl, you make my speakers go boom, boom. Dancing on the tailgate in the full moon. That kind of thing makes a man go mm-hmm. You're looking so good in what's left of those blue jeans. Trip of honey on the money maker, gotta be the best buzz I'm ever gonna find. Hey, I'm a little drunk on you and high on summertime. Let's slip on out where it's a little bit darker. And when it gets a little bit hotter, we'll take it off on out in the water. Girl, you make my speakers go boom, boom. Dancing on the tailgate in the full moon. That kind of thing makes a man go boom, boom. You're looking so good in what's left of those blue jeans. Drip of honey on the money maker, gotta be the best buzz I'm ever gonna find. Hey, I'm a little drunk on you and high on summertime.
Texas, baby.
Texas, what do you mean?
Your girl, she's from Texas.
Where? What's the deal?
A little predictable, if you ask me.
Don't matter. Texas. You're from Texas.
I'm not from Texas. It's just where I happen to be.
Where are you gonna be tomorrow?
You tell me.
Yeah, I'm a little drunk on you.
The sun blinded to the air.
Was that the conclusion? Bob? Matthew?
Sabrina's on.
Sabrina's here. Bob is vanished.
I know. Such a disappointment. Just kidding.
No, I'm glad. Now we hear the phone ringing. Do you hear the phone ringing?
Okay, Bill, I want to hear this song, okay?
Hey, Bill?
Okay,
Bob?
The song. I'm listening to the song.
Bob, can you hear us? What song? We just played the song. Let me send a message here. What is going on?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Matthew from New Jersey.
Matthew, you're the world's most depressed man, right?
I'm doing okay today.
Okay. What are you doing? What's up with you?
It's late here, but I've been listening the whole show, and then, I don't know, Bob seemed to disappear. I might have got him thrown off.
Yeah, he's vanished. I'm trying to find out what disconnect happened. He didn't even hear the song. What's it, Bob?
Yeah.
What is it? We're
no,
off
I got it.
Bill.
I have one of those electronic cigarettes, so it's keeping me focused.
Right. All right. What are you burning in that?
Just it's like a menthol fake
tobacco thing.
What's weed's not legal in your where you're at anyway, is it? Where are you in New Jersey?
Yeah, no, they just passed a law that it should be legal, but they haven't opened a shop or anything yet.
Was there a big fight to get it legalized over there, or was it just an economic situation?
Yeah, they want it to be extremely strict so that only actually sick people get it. But they haven't, I don't know that they'll open a shop anytime soon.
Wow. Yeah, when do they say they're going to open the next one? After the elections? Presidential elections?
A shop in Montclair has been cleared to start growing, but they're not cleared to sell it or open. So someone's growing it somewhere legally.
Wow. Is there a big grow scene in New Jersey? Behind the scenes, you know?
No. In Manhattan, you can get it delivered to your door pretty easily, but it's quite expensive.
Right. How much is an eighth in New Jersey?
Probably the standard 50, but the quality is not as good as you get in California.
Really? $50? Jesus. Wow. Yeah, there's just all this. You left at the perfect time. They got all this new legislation coming out. So the world's most dangerous plant. Unbelievable. So we have Booker not. Where is he, Bill? Do you know? I'm wondering where he. If his phone line went out, what happened? Can you say?
He came back to say he wanted to hear the song. So I was on the air.
So what'd you think of them? Some of those clips that we played.
Well, they were quite. I've listened to the whole show, and it's covered a lot of different bases.
Yeah, what'd you think of that RNA? It's RNA testimonial.
Excellent. I've masturbated myself on RNA.
Great.
Great.
Yeah, no, I've like this woman, like, that wasn't very much time, like less than a month, total complete changeover. I've never heard anything like that. It's 2 weeks thinking about it and two weeks.
I just ordered a bottle since I called in last time, and so I started putting it on myself again.
Are you the Renew, you mean?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Renew. Because I go through the RNA drops quickly, so because I have a very addictive personality, so the Renew I think I go slower with.
Really? So, where do you put your Renew on? Your head, your dick, your ass, your skin? Where are you using it?
Yeah, pretty much all. You know, the one line in the chakras to go from the forehead to the dick. You cover all the bases.
Right. And you know, so you just said you just got the Renew in like this week?
Yeah.
So, you know, you haven't been using any stuff for a while. When you suddenly put the Renew on, do you feel it? The change?
You know, actually today, at some point I felt really good. So you never know what to attest it to, but I think I've actually had some positive effects. I believe in the product, you know. It's expensive. I wouldn't buy it unless I thought it did something. Although people did call in today saying it does nothing and they keep buying more.
What'd you say there, Matthew?
There you are.
Said that it does nothing for them, but they bought more.
Okay, so Matthew's saying, it does nothing for them, but lots more. Okay, can you translate what the sentence was, James?
No, because it's the sound is off a little bit. Could you say that again, Matthew? I couldn't hear it clearly.
I was saying that guy, James, called in to say it does nothing for him, but he just got a new bottle.
Right.
But he just got a new bottle, yeah.
Yeah. It okay, doesn't yeah. work. Don't buy it. I'm getting another bottle soon.
Yeah, it's like Ion used to say about cash flow, James. He says, people hate you, Bob, but they can't stop tuning in just so they know what they hate.
Right. There you go.
Same thing. They're going to keep taking the he drops forever just to show that nothing happens.
Right, I'm going to prove this to you.
Old John will be calling in 2 years from now and say, yeah, I've told five other people. They've all ascended and they're great, having great lives, but nothing's happened for me.
I'm going to prove it to you.
Yeah. Hey, you know, okay, so the songs, what we just heard, how come I'm so on delay? I mean, Jesus, 20 minutes of the show has gone by. What happened, James, after the songs? Or
I don't know.
What have you been doing?
You just vanished. I couldn't hear anything out of you.
Well, I got disconnected. So then when the songs came on, they started, and I got plugged back in by Bill, and then I spoke to you, and I said, I'm going to listen to the songs. So I listened to the songs, but they seemed to have taken me way past, many hours, many minutes past what they should have been. But the songs were, just for the record, Leon writes in. Leon says, great music selections. Well, that's a nice thought. So what you heard was somebody named Luke Bryan. Looks like he's the new guy. This is in the top 10 songs of the week. His song was Drunk on You, Luke Bryan. That was 4 minutes and 45 seconds, James. And the second song was by a band called Neon Trees. Not Leon, Neon. Called Everybody Talks. If you're on the dupes, I will post the YouTubes. They're good YouTubes, interesting YouTubes. And Everybody Talks was 3 minutes and 55 seconds. So, James, now we got Alton. What were you guys laughing about? Just Matthew and his RNA drops?
So those testimonials that were coming, that testimonial from the woman earlier, the, like, 2 weeks
yes, the great
at
one.
The bottom.
The great Michelle. Michelle
the
Great.
She's the Hall of Fame. She's Hall of Fame.
She put out one single and went right to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame immediately with one single.
She stared at it for... So she was... did we ever find out, did Jermaine ever ingest RNA drops? Or just,
oh, yeah, yeah. Jermaine started a few months ago.
Just a few months ago?
Yeah.
So from when we were standing in front of her on the beach just to a couple of months ago, she finally decided?
Yes, and she was smart. Like, the reason... Well, this was August last year. You and I met her and her boyfriend on the beach. And I was trying to make her have a drop. I was trying to put them in her mouth, right? And they sprinkled them on the other guy, Corbin, and they went on the side of his face. So it was a pretty chaotic scene. But she was smart. She respected the drop. She wanted to take them for the first time in a proper environment, not among the homeless on Venice Street, on Venice Beach, right? So
right.
I respect her decision. And she never got around to, she's been doing a lot since that period. And then finally got settled enough a few months ago. She finally got the drops and took them, and she's gotten great results.
Wow, what happened to her?
Well, she's pretty mobile. She gets around, and it's even better for her. Now, she was at a party a couple of weeks ago. And I got an email out of the blue saying, Bob, I'm at a party. And I forgot to take my drops today, but I just discovered them. They're in my purse. I'm at this big opening party. Do you think I should put the drops in everybody's drink? And I go back, yeah.
Spike
I said, yep,
them.
Do that. I checked with Carolyn. You always have to, like Ion says, check with Carolyn. Carolyn, can we put drops in everybody's drink? Oh, no problem, Bob. So then I told her, but I don't think she did it. If she did, she ain't telling me, you know. So
yeah.
That was that.
Spike the drink.
Now, Matthew, you got lousy reception as always. Your phone is always terrible, so it's always a pain to listen, but maybe you can say a few things in response to Alton. So, Alton, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Bob.
I wanted to say to Alton, note what James said last hour. He said very politely that the guys that he knows around Basagio have personality problems or something like
right.
that. He said that?
Yeah. No, I don't doubt it. I'm just this guy Pachago has a very sharp legal mind. He was interviewed by Randy Moggins, and he seemed very intent upon getting his agenda out there vis-a-vis a presidential run. I just thought
Alton, when you hear articulate people, that's not relevant today. You got to start reading Mark Hansen.
Well, I looked into his stuff. Yeah, he's doing kind of a collage.
No, he isn't. No, he isn't. You got to read all three books. It's my new Bible. I tell everybody that his
really?
His trilogy.
He's not even on his way trilogy. To Quadrophenia, but he's on his way to Quadrophenia, right? He's not there yet.
No comment.
Right?
His three books, his trilogy is more important than Things Awake right now. I'm telling anybody who would listen.
That's throwing down the gauntlet, Bob.
Yes, I'm throwing down the gauntlet with this guy. I threw it down at him, too. But the thing is that I'm telling people you have no clue what's going on unless you can read his books, you know, be able to read them. They're very difficult.
I went to his website, Bob, and it didn't seem to me that he really had much to say. But maybe I got to check out his books.
That's the website. Yeah. Got to go to his books. I'm telling you, the three books, I found the Holy Grail of books for 2012, and these are the books. And I defy anybody to understand them.
Right.
I'm telling you to read it. I predict you won't understand them.
I've been reading Elias Canetti all day, Bob. You know, I'm just, maybe I'm doing a retrieval here, you know.
You're doing a retrieval. And I bring this up to say that Andrew Bisseglio, if he's articulate about the law and everything, he has no clue. There's nothing to be articulate about today. You have no clue what's going on if you're articulate or if you're running for president. These are silly Don Quixote actions.
Well,
really,
they're
extremely stupid. You know who's smart? It's the silent majority, the people we ain't hearing from. They're creating all kinds of neat scenes, and they're not broadcasting or anything. They're not trying to run for president. It's stupid to be president. There's no such place to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. However, he is coming from pretty much the LaRouche quadrant, as you might say, but and it may be ultimately irrelevant, but it is a way to get the message out there that there have been successful experiments, apparently, on this. And all it really does is reinforce the kind of thing that is talked about a lot on cash flow and vis-a-vis Ion with the Yale story. And basically what you're getting into is portaling and parallel worlding and all that fun stuff. And it just happens to be an official program out there that has been going on since the 60s. Now, it might not ultimately make any difference, but if it's out there and if they're floating a trial balloon, it could ease the transition, if you will, toward in other words, I think you could see it as a service rather than a disservice.
What do you think about that? I don't think he thought much about that. I think he's getting cut off.
Oh, he got cut off again? Maybe the booties are coming to get him. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I guess I blew it out.
There, you're
Bob,
back.
I'm telling you, burn white sage incense if you have it. It clears up your telephone disconnects. I did it the other day when I was talking to David Worcester. It smoothed out all that stuff.
Hey, were you talking to Worcester since our interview?
No, I haven't talked to him. I don't even have his number.
You did it during that interview. You had to do the incense.
Pardon? Yeah, during the interview, I was burning incense because when we were talking in the pregame, I was having connection issues with service interruptions and stuff.
Yeah,
so I burned incense.
Yeah. Okay, so what were you guys talking about? I just got disconnected, James. So I was telling you Bisseglio's idiotic and being articulate. He should never be articulate anymore. Bisseglio, see, they talk about jump roaming and going to dimensions. They don't know that Ion said back in April 22nd, 2010, that all the portals were opened. Okay, there's the new news. It doesn't require anything. I was listening to an old archive. The third Jesus, I assume it was the third Jesus, he never portaled one day in his life. It wasn't his mission. His mission was, wipe out hell, death, and the grave or something. But got to need new words, new ideas about what's going on.
Absolutely.
Do you want to talk about falsifiability? You want to talk about that?
Well, I was watching the Agyananda Bharati interviews on YouTube, and he was talking about Popper. He was being interviewed by these philosophy students at Andhra Pradesh, India, and he was analyzing Indian philosophy, and he was saying that Hinduism has nothing to do with science, and that philosophy in general doesn't have anything to do with science. But he was talking about the mechanisms of consciousness change that come through yoga as being scientifically falsifiable. But I only bring that kind of stuff up when there's some kind of confusion over, say, on the boards with regard to the veracity that people are looking for from ION, which I don't personally have a problem with, because my argument all along has been that we are dealing with a very high order of intelligence in ION. Now, whether or not it is absolutely benevolent, that's a separate question. Also, it's important to rigorously interrogate whatever source of information, be it physical, non-physical, in order to locate or somehow find, construct a boundary around this body of knowledge. I talked about stock of available reality and stuff, R.P. Blackburn in the David Wooster interview. It's the question of what realm of knowledge does ION have access to? That is the question. And if it is limited, why is it limited? Now, because we're getting into the nature of omniscience, and it's a very serious question. And there are no sufficient antecedents in the history of philosophy for this question. Because right. The history of philosophy, if you want to deal with formal cause and everything, you're dealing with the structure, and Korzybski is the point man for all that. And we tried to throw David Wooster on all this stuff, too. And you get into the structure. Now, this is what McLuhan was a master of, structure of all media. And essentially all possible in the you talked about ION saying that McLuhan intuited the hexadic and all that. Maybe he did. But you're getting into formal cause of the structure of knowledge. And basically the angle that I've been taking, and this is the reason why the opportunity to interview Wooster was very timely, because he has a lot to say about this subject, and ION acknowledges that he has a lot to say about it. So what David seemed to be getting into are tetrahedrons in terms of understanding dimensionality and the ability not to see entities. And so what we're dealing with is you might disagree with the term wave formations, but that is the way that I understand the universe, as a closed wave system. And so that the wave-particle duality is a complete failure of modern science to resolve this issue. And so anything can be understood in terms of amplitude, frequency, field strength, and different things like that. You're basically dealing with wave theory. So I wanted to come at it from that angle, and I don't think that ION would disagree. Now, but there are parallels to looking at it in sort of a polyhedron-type scenario, when you're dealing with finite shapes, say, fitting into a gyroscope, like David Wooster talked about. But I think that it is significant to explore the idea in terms of shared electrical charge space between, say, the guff and what we know is the dimension of man, the living dimension of man. And it's a very deep subject, and modern science does not have the lexicon to discuss this. And you have to borrow terminology from ION, David Wooster, from Dobbstown, and from some of the more advanced philosophers going right now. And that's pretty much the only way to do it. You got to go back into theosophy a little bit, Krishnamurti, Blavatsky, and kind of get your bearings in order to be able to discuss it.
Okay, so what do you make of the recent William Irvin Thompson interview in relation to what you're saying?
Well, I think it's obviously he's very sober and he's aware. He had a lot of very interesting statements in there. One was that he's always said that we're just sort of chunks of meat, you know, in this like electromagnetic blender. I forget what the, I don't want to misquote him. And then the other one was that the corks sink where, I mean, corks float where battleships sink in turbulent waters. And he kind of, that was sort of his triumphant line in the sense that, and what he's dealing with is the concept of karma there. Because he's dealing with the idea that if you kind of have this very Lindisfarne going green sort of mentality, and you understand or very socially conscious of your imprint, carbon wise or in terms of putting out positive thought patterns, that you really don't have to worry about the as the interviewer Michael Garfield called the techno-cultural bardo that we seem to be entering. But yeah, these guys cannot escape, as you pointed out, this kind of visual space transition from print-based literature world and the occult. That's their kind of barometer. And when I sent you that email saying that it seems that the interviewer was trying to throw him some hanging sliders from the Croker and Dobbs quadrants, it really points out that Thompson does not have the intellectual, I mean, the technological know-how to be able to kind of deal with a lot of these questions. But he's positioning himself sufficiently to, I don't want to say ascend or anything, but Thompson is one of the good guys, and he's one of the most voluminous minds out there, and so he is ideally positioned to be probed, and which is what these the students of physics and Charles Einstein and Richard Torres and all these guys are, you know, and possibly even you know, Mark Hansen. He's prepared to handle these this new wave of thinkers.
Yes. Now, James, do you have a comment on any of this? Or did James leave? Are you there, Alton? Did I get disconnected?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. So James gone. Sabrina is still there?
I think we cleared the room.
Okay, that's all right. So, a couple thoughts about Thompson. Yes, his line that the battleships sink and the corks float. Now, he says the corks would be the little places, the little Lindisfarnes, and the big old dinosaur institutions, they sink. Now, he says in the 70s he went for the corks, but the corks aren't viable now. So he's saying his son and daughter and other people have gone back to the universities, which are sort of the battleships. And he's sitting there saying, I told you so, and you should have gone my way, and you're not, so you're all going to have a mass die-off. And until the mass die-off happens, we will hang out with your battleships, or my kids will,
right.
Or your students.
Right.
That's his contradiction. He's paralyzed. He seems to be paralyzed.
Yeah, he is. His raft is the LaRouche quadrant, basically. I mean, he basically, in order to refute the legitimacy of the political systems that have dragged us into the techno-cultural bardo, he has to fall back on what LaRouche has known for about 30-plus years, is that with the seeming technological determinism, that we are kind of in a state where there's so much uncontrolled electric energy out there that is being misused and used in a very irresponsible manner, that there's not a whole lot for a sympathetic secular liberal humanist to do. And this is the same kind of problem that McLuhan encountered. However, what he's missing is the ability to access the to understand the services. Now, this is extremely, I think, an important subject, and David Worster is an authority on this, even though he probably wouldn't admit it. But to understand the services of, say, Tavistock, MIT, Princeton Institute for Advanced Study, British Intelligence, the OSS, the CIA, that essentially what has happened is a situation has been engineered that is beneficial for the increase of intelligence. And this is what LaRouche misses it, Kroeber misses. The only guy that was really intuiting this is McLuhan. And because McLuhan realized that to have value judgments is the most alienating stance that one can have. And yeah. So by understanding Bertrand Russell's tactic of suspended judgment, understanding that as a technology, as essentially a media position, McLuhan is ideally situated to intuit what is going on. And that is media and technology have been accelerated through the use of psychedelic experimentation, intelligence ops, like you were involved in with the Solar Government, Secret Council of Ten, yeah. And everything like that, in order to explore the media, expose the disservices early so that you can get them to fire off early and you don't have to deal with the nagging detrimental effects later, and understand how they can teach us collectively about future options. And ultimately it leads into the idea that you can see clearer into the nature of reality, and you can see into how Planck's constant, different things can be organized so that you can come up with some kind of universal understanding of wave theory and basically how to position yourself within this electric environment, and probably even a post-electrical, post-nuclear age. And then and the only analogs we have for this are the occult. Now, that's a subject that becomes obsolete. A lot of the terms from theosophy are obsolete. Terms from ancient religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, have been obsolete. Thompson understands this. Thompson said that if he had to do it all over again, he probably would have stayed at MIT, and he probably would have gotten a lot done there, because he would have been going up against Marvin Minsky and a lot of these guys that seemed to be determinists, Norbert Wiener, all these guys, and he could have brought a very fresh perspective on the use of technology. But I see the sort of, you talked about the immortizing of the eschaton from Robert Anton Wilson and everything. Well, what I take that to mean is that whereas you had guys like Jacques Ellul talking about the harmful effects of technology, what you have is the ability to see technology for what it is and to understand the analog of Buddhism that television is in the McLuhan world. And you can see everything clearly so that you can chart your own course and you can essentially take over the reins. And McLuhan understood, you've talked about several times how, you can turn up a little radio here, you can turn up a little computers here, turn up some digital, turn up some analog, whatever. You can go back to solid-state transistor, whatever, but it takes very sharp, very comprehensive minds to be able to operate the controls. And McLuhan, he thought that he was better positioned to do that than Bucky Fuller, and sort of what you've done with Dobstown is to basically set up a console, and so people can see, if they got magic fingers or not, and they can push the right buttons, and they can get some kind of harmony out of this thing. And guys like Thompson, they just do not have the technological skill to be able to do it. So, I mean, there's other guys out there that are looking at this thing.
Right. I watched that last night, the interview with Thompson. I saw the one a few months before
done by another young student kind of guy. And Thompson's sitting there with his arms folded like an old spinster. And I see that what he's looking at, the position he's from, is what I had 4 or 5 years ago. He's got a little LaRouche, a little McClone, a little Coker, a little himself, and whatever extra. And he has no position. He has nothing to work with right now. He's on the sidelines. I see myself slightly like that 5 years ago. But when Ion showed up, that put me right with something to do, something to work with. And when you say that the occult language is maybe the closest you can come up with, well, it's very interesting that Ion shows up with the occult context and then blows it apart and updates it. I find that what you're touching on, and you're speaking sort of quadriphenically or just juxtaposing all kinds of different memes and themes, I find that Ion does provide the breakthrough there. Like the math, that when you say we got to come up with a new language or a new this and that, you get that language, that mathematics in private sessions with Ion. Now, what did you think of, I think I heard you say that what Ion was saying tonight about the Yaley girl, that was further out than whatever James was talking about, Basagio. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think it was further out. I think it is further out there. Basically, we're contrasting, on the one hand, a physics student who is able to basically ride a rift in matter, in a stone, in a certain configuration of concrete matter, right? We're contrasting that with a very advanced scientific government-funded program that may have had guys like John von Neumann involved, super geniuses at its inception, to be able to create teleportation devices, which doesn't seem to me to be that far off if you consider what we know from Tesla and from a lot of the stuff that was being developed with Oppenheimer, Einstein, Leontief, and all these guys that basically had been able to apply very basic principles from electromagnetism to the economy, to computers, to nuclear physics, and it seems to me not that far-fetched that NASA or whoever, or Montauk or Phoenix or Project Pegasus could have brought this thing to reality 3 decades ago, whereas it seems that a physics student being able to go through a wall is a lot more far-fetched, they ultimately both may involve the same principles of advanced physics.
Yeah, now, as you say that, I'm aware of what I can do and have done with Ion. And
right.
I'm sitting here with the goods, with the answers, with the environments, and we're actually implementing them. And so I watch the response of the intellectual class, information property class, to what we're doing.
Right.
I think
right.
that you know what we're doing, or you intuit it, you're interested in it, but you are not actually engaged with Ion, so you're forced to sort of go back into the retrievals and look at all what could have done, what who could have done it, and what they might have done as you wait to see if Bob pulls it off. I see you're in a waiting position, or you're forced
that's
back
part
with what's been given.
Yeah, well, see
you're
that last sentence again?
You're forced to track with what's been given, and you're pretty good at scanning all the various memes around, and you're an encyclopedic person, so you can hop from appreciate this thing and that thing, but you're trying to fit it back into what they have established, like the Santa Fe Institute or whatever, and I'm telling you that even though you don't have access to Ion now, it'd be interesting what you would do with Ion if you had access. You have to sort of rely on what I'm reporting, so I'm trying to give hints by what I play here. And I played this thing where Ion is explaining, like a police detective, what went on in the Yaley wall. What were your thinkings about what you heard?
Well, it doesn't seem impossible to me. I've been very impressed with Ion, mostly on a level of what I call homo ludens, basically, Ion's ability to celebrate life, to celebrate humor, and maybe you want to call it Manippean satire, but the to me, that's the center of it all. The center is when you can enjoy language, enjoy all these different media, and have the interior understanding that life is it's in control. Everything's in control. That's the important thing, and that is that's what David Wooster has. And one thing is that Ion, and we talked about this last week on Cash Flow, that Ion introduces duality into the conversation with the physical versus non-physical. Now, this is the concept that needs to really be explored. Yeah. I don't want to get too off track with that, though. I want to address
What you're saying, Alton, about the rigor of investigation with the boundaries of what Ion knows, that's what I've been doing for 6,000 hours. You know, you probably can tell. I apply rigor to what I'm doing with Ion, and I've, you know, accomplished a lot of stuff, but that would require people hearing the things. If I make a few summary statements, I don't know if that helps, but I agree with the rigor that you want to bring to it.
Yeah. At the same time, I think it's important to realize that it ultimately parallel worlding or whatever may not be of that much value compared to, say, something like Finnegan's Wake, which demonstrates a mastery of form, function, style of language, especially as it relates to this celebration theme, the ability to satirize, to laugh, really is what it comes down to. And essentially, there's really nothing to fear about the state of quadrophrenia as it pertains to just the exuberance. I think William Blake said that exuberance is beauty, you know, and pretty much what we're dealing with is... doesn't have to be tempered by anything mystical, really, or for that matter, anything scientific, because we're dealing with a centeredness. And to bring in any kind of religious theme or any kind of even pragmatism to it would to just alienate this other central driving force, which Joyce was right on top of. So the problem with a lot of artists is that they can they wind up either not knowing enough technology, and then they become obsolete, or they basically, some of these guys try to learn too much technology, like Wyndham Lewis, and they lose their artistic talent. And you know, and basically everybody. I was reading Elias Canetti is extremely enlightening because he has the same personality flaws that a T.S. Eliot, his arch rival, had, and yeah. That what these guys don't. These guys are stuck inside of this continuum of British elitism. Yeah. They kind of put it. They both put it on. I mean, Eliot was descended from English family, but he was an American.
Yeah, do you detect that in Ben Watson?
Ben Watson's a very interesting case because in his embrace of Zappa and Marxism, he is completely he has put off the British aristocratic arrogance elitism thing that is the Achilles heel of most certainly 20th century British writers, and he is and even musicians as well. By understanding the genius of Zappa, Ben Watson has really positioned himself to just celebrate the American ideal in its purest form, with his creativity, and is really a disavowal of the kind of technocracy, the kind of cryptocracy that Walter Bauert
to ride. So, I mean, but his inability to at least explore the Ion meme on a kind of suspension of disbelief level, it prevents further conversation. Now, all Ben Watson had to do in that one interview was to just issue his disclaimer that he's not, he thinks that the dead is basically talking through us all the time, and that he doesn't really buy it. But that doesn't prevent him from engaging, or even if he wanted to apply a rigorous system of falsifiability, he could ask Ion something that only he knew about the Napa, or only that only Ben Watts knew about his own life, and just get that out of the way early if that was an issue. But by assuming a stance of
disdain. Disdain.
Yeah.
The stance disdain.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Basically, that's the same thing. That's the same thing that's preventing LaRouche from understanding the real creation of America. Like, I mean, LaRouche has so many things right, but there's a few key things that he has closed himself off from, which is the ability to understand that a lot of these founding fathers that he worships were involved in. Presumably, what will you call the occult?
Yeah.
And he doesn't understand. I mean, you mentioned Saint Germain de LaRouche. He would probably what was that line he used in that Larry King interview about? I think he played on Furry Lent with a boy like falling in love with a three-headed rabbit or something. You know, So
well, Martin has written. I mean, LaRouche has written on Saint Germain. He has called them the Martine family, which is connected to Saint Germain, the famous oligarchs in France. And he blames a lot of the 20th century on the Martin or Martine family. So yes, LaRouche is certainly, he would find Ion's statements ridiculous.
Right. When LaRouche, now you pointed out something very, very subtle in your talks with Andrew Crystal that I think merits exploration. And that's that. According to McLuhan, I think you said that LaRouche's kind of platonic hypothesis model is obsolete. Now, I think that warrants warrants exploration.
Yeah. Well, what I do is have LaRouche being obsolete, but in my book Static Communion, he gets the. Say cold fusion is the breakthrough. Not McLuhan, not Thompson, not Croker. He gets to say it. So he flips into actually a proper position right for now in the post-information society or the post-software world. He's advocating the new hardware breakthrough, the new hardware battery. So that's what's curious about the LaRouche phenomenon is that he is, I think what you mean when he's done, not amenable to the popular culture of America, that's from his disdain and his nerdiness and his isolation all his life. You know, he's a literate guy. He's not really an American. He's more of a European sensibility. And so that isolation made him not understand pop culture, what McLuhan was explaining, but it then meant that LaRouche focused on the battery. And on hardware technologies and machine tools. And that actually put him in a position to talk about cold fusion when it showed up. Because he ignored the 30, 40 years of pop culture. See? So everybody's position can have a service to it. Have an advantage.
Right.
Like
Thompson
is very good. Yeah, here's where Thompson's good at. He's good at talking about angels as musical and mathematical. Now that gets into my chart and how my chart is those environments, updated musical and mathematical environments. That's what celestial intelligences are from Thompson's point of view. So he actually is very good for some of the most esoteric Ion stuff.
Right. Yeah,
I think a few seconds. We just got a few seconds, so we're going to have some music. You're going to come back? We can pick it up right there.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Okay, thanks, Bill. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is James Martinez. You know, it has been months since RNA drops have been open to the public on the market. And today, there is no doubt this product will change your world forever. I'd like to give special thanks to its creators, Ion, Dr. Carolyn Dean, and Bob Nevitt for bringing this to the public. And I'm very pleased to announce the continued success of RNA drops. Today, tomorrow, and the next day, you're going to hear even more positive testimonials from all over the world. Included in the positive results of these products is that of Renew and Realign. For further details, go to jamesmartinezrnadrops.com. That's jamesmartinezrnadrops.com. Feel free to listen to the 2 hours of testimonials. And many of you know already, this is a special time for the world. And now it's your special time. Join us and participate in the greatest product to hit the market ever. You heard it right. I said ever. Tell your friends, tell your family, take your life, and take your power back. James Martinez, RNADrops.com.
Whatever love.